Only two ways to have a great life. So one, create more living things. The fundamental purpose of any living thing is to create more living things. And then two, do what you like to do and what you're good at every single day and get better at it.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers Tribe. Today we have an interesting conversation with Justin Breen. Justin's a friend of ours, and the way in which he thinks is so interesting, the way in which he sees the world. He sees folks in the numbers and the results of like aptitude tests. And I know aptitude isn't the right word, but like Colby and Enneagram and such and such. And so he like has a deep read on people and an interesting perspective. And we talk about how bringing this unique vision for others into life just helps create an epic family. Justin is the founder and CEO of the global PR firm Brepik and exclusive connectivity platform Brepik Network. He's got a new book that features the foreword from Dr. Peter Diamantis, who's just absolutely mind-blowingly intelligent and interesting to listen to or to read. So he's also recently on the Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller list. Hope you enjoy.
Sorry for the delay. I kept trying to come in and it was showing I was in a different meeting room than you, so I wasn't certain
what was. Oh, okay. I'm good. I clicked the one that was in the calendar invite. Maybe it was different.
I don't know why, but for some reason we're in Costa Rica and it's like Costa Rica Zoom. I'm not really sure why, but it comes
Costa Rica Zoom.
Somehow it was different. There were like different prompts in Spanish.
Really?
And then I would go in and I was the only person in the room. I'm like, what did I do? I know I was doing something wrong. I wasn't translating something properly and hitting.
Your next book idea, Geniuses Who Struggle with Zoom. That's a great book idea.
I'm certain I am not a crowd of one on that one.
Oh, no. It's hilarious. Talking to like 175 IQs who are on mute. it's hilarious.
You're like, you're smarter than this.
In certain ways, yes.
Right.
So yeah. Like, this is how I hold a pencil. I cannot hold a pencil. It's like things a monkey can do. I have a hard time.
And it amazes me that when you were in school, no doubt, you were told that was wrong.
Oh, I got told that a lot.
How much so, like, I remember spending summers practicing my handwriting. I almost feel like it didn't increase my handwriting skills. It almost like deformed my hands from doing what they needed to do. It's like, I mean, is that, were you?
Hey.
Hello, hello. Yeah, my hands have been deformed by not writing the right way. Yeah.
Or by someone trying to force you to write their way.
Yes. Please stop forcing me to do it this way. Yes.
Yeah. But isn't it so true? Like, and I'm just, again, natural conversations jumping right into this. Like,
yes.
How often are children who function differently? Like, we just finished a podcast about strong-willed children. Like,
right.
How often are we try to like shove the foot into too small of a shoe? You know what I mean? Like, hold your pencil this way or try to write that way, or you're too X, Y, or Z. And it's like, no, you're not much of anything. You're exactly the amount that you're supposed to be.
Correct. Yeah. My wife says three words to me before parent-teacher conferences. Don't say anything.
It's nice that she lets you go.
Yeah. I just sit there.
Nod.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Great. Thank you. Great.
And now, how did you used to feel during those parent-teacher conferences? Because I've gotten to know you now as a friend, and I think you're an incredible human. I can imagine. The same way that I love my incredible human husband. Like, parent-teacher conferences don't go so well when you're an outside-of-the-box thinker.
No, I mean, well, geez, parent-teacher conferences. I mean, I don't remember my dad saying, I mean, I don't think my dad ever went to a parent-teacher conference. I mean, what's he going to say? He's a World War II hero who survived multiple getting shot down in planes. What is he going to say to it? Oh, we can talk about that in the podcast or whatever you want. Because it's a funny story.
That is super cool.
I'll save it. I'll save that one.
We're recording. So that's why.
Oh, good.
Yeah. This is why I record at the beginning. I think, gosh, some of the best stuff happens before we.
100%. Yeah. So I never read a full book, but I mark things down. So be one-on-one with your child, have no electronics, and then do a fun activity of the child's choosing followed by a focused reflection. I thought that was the best. I'm glad Alden's doing well. That's good.
Yeah, he's doing great.
Is that the new one? Oh, or no.
Remember the one you gave me.
Yeah, the new one just came out Monday
teacher. Number one on Barnes & Noble, right?
I think. Yeah. And three categories on Amazon, and we made the top 100 for Amazon yesterday too. So we're super excited.
It'll never stop. It never stops.
Yeah. We're so excited. And the new one, there's an update on Alden because Alden's about to turn 20 now. So
I'm going
to
ask about Alden. I was just speaking in England and talking about the epic life, about like, don't destroy your family for this. I was talking like this, and then I was reading your part here. You've watched successful grown men and women sobbing at the clear knowledge that they hadn't been there for their children. So this guy comes out, he was sitting there. And then he came up to me afterwards and he's like, dude, I was like crying listening to that because I'm in the process of literally being one of those people that you're talking about. Like, I don't know how to function as being this person in charge of like 40 people and like this driven person and then talking to investors. And then like, I feel like I'm losing my family. He's like, I needed to hear what you were saying. So how many people? I mean, I talk to one to two people like us every single week, entrepreneur life, destroy their family life. So yep. This guy was in the process of doing it. What's that?
Sad state of affairs, unfortunately.
Unnecessary. Unnecessary.
So unnecessary. And now for us, we talk a lot about living a legendary life. And mm-hmm. We recently were challenged by our editor a good question. He said, when is enough enough? Like, at what point? Right. Because, you know, we're writing this book on passive income and legendary life. And he said, but when is enough enough? And our answer is, it's not an amount. It's a how. How can I live exactly like this?
Right.
To my children, my contribution, my most important relationships, and do cool things in the world, like write books and build houses right. And whatever. And if the first part suffers, then the other is over. And so, for you, and your word would be an epic.
Epic, legendary. It's funny because when I was an entrepreneur who happened to be a journalist, epic was the first word. Legendary was the second. So I always used to say legendary, like constant. So epic beat it out because it was legendary wouldn't have worked like Brepic does. So, but yeah, that's a great word. Yeah. So and then why wouldn't you think like that? Why wouldn't you think legendary? Like, why? It doesn't, it's illogical.
Now, what is your how? Like, I hear you saying the same thing. It's not about an enough. Like, there's enough if it's now. But what is your how? Like, your epic.
Oh.
How do you want to be living?
What exactly how I am now. I mean, yeah. Like, so Earl Nightingale, he's the OG. He's like Dan Sullivan before Dan Sullivan. He was around early 1900s, like when audio recordings were.
Oh yeah. I got a couple of his.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yeah. So my favorite quote of his is success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. So my worthy ideal is connecting superhero for every visionary who shares their stories with the world. So progressive realization, worthy. So that's it. Like hang out with my family and then doing that. So I just do that every day and try to get better and better at it. Better dad, husband, better purpose of life. I found all this other stuff takes care of itself. It's the other stuff, just business owner stuff. I don't really think about that stuff very much.
And now, Justin, in the time in which we got to know you, every conversation with you is so like enlightening.
Oh,
and
thanks.
We leave the conversation when trying to research and find our numbers of various. When I say, but like, we're so excited. We're like chatty about like, now, what do you think he meant about this? And how did he know that I'm such a feeler? It's just so amazing the way in which you take.
Have you done the I Am Driven? Have you done the Dr. Doug Brackman thing? I'll put it.
No, we know Doug, but we've never done this.
Of course.
So for our listeners, I would love.
Oh, right. For our listeners.
Okay. I would love for them to know that just my perspective of when we get to catch up with you, you extract so much information from our scores on Colby. Enneagram, our strength finders, unique abilities, all of those things. And you're able to even sometimes take a conversation and extract what you think our assistant Colby score is. And you were dead on, like exact number. Thanks. And so without
useful skill,
right? But it is because you read it people incredibly well, whether it's a thinking way, an intuitive way, an emotional way. You extract it and you extract it so quickly and it's numbers. Someone might say, oh, well, it's just numbers, but oh my gosh.
No.
You had my whole being like nailed in a quick amount of time. And for the people listening, like that is such a superpower. How? And use that in relationships. That is your skeleton key in relationships, I would say.
Whoa. So a book is a key that opens up endless doors. That's all a book is. For me, understanding the numbers of someone or the strengths of someone, like I see the world in numbers and keywords, not in personality. I don't really care what someone's personality is. I want to know how they take action. So the numbers and the keywords are the skeleton key that, okay, here's the door with all the answers. Focus on that door because that's the progressive realization of the worthy ideal. The worthy ideal is behind that door. Most of the world's not behind that door. So there's no door there. There might be a door, but it's leading off a cliff. So I just focus on the door that I know the answer to that. And then I just connect people through that door. That's really all it. And then I was talking to this World War II hero. He's still alive. Thomas Cernick. So I don't believe in randomness. I just don't. He's getting a vaccination a couple months ago. And the guy had a World War II hat on, veteran hat. So when I see someone like that, because my dad was 61 when I was born. So he was a World War II hero, shot down multiple times in combat, became attorney in Nuremberg, Nazi war crimes trial. So and then every day he said, cream rises to the, So my whole life is like, oh, so that's my dad. So he said every day the cream rises to the top. So he died when I was 13. So I partner with the cream that rises to the top are the ones that'll make an excuse. You just do it. But because there's the door, you go to the door. You don't wait at the door. You go in there. So I was talking to Mr. Cernick. I don't really like to talk unless it's in this type of thing. I'd rather listen. So I was listening to him. And this guy's the ultimate. He's like a modern day Viktor Frankl, living Viktor Frankl. Mm-hmm. And he's just a guy getting his vaccination. But if you listen to someone, you get these answers. So, okay, his wife died last year. His last living friend died. He's the only one of his 9 siblings alive. The only one of his 9 siblings to get past 4th grade education. He grew up in the northern upper peninsula of Michigan, the copper mines. His mom got him out of there and took him to Chicago to get him an education. So he's still a practicing attorney in Illinois. Wow. He owns his own, right? Like, this guy's alive. So he defends high-profile murder cases. That's his law firm. It's a small firm, but he's still doing it. Okay, he lives with his son. And then he was the guy in the Pacific, in the Navy. They would send him in to clear the beaches and the airstrips before everyone else came in. So that's like the most dangerous. My dad was a bomb spotter, and he was shot down multiple times in combat, many times without a parachute. It's a miracle he survived, but I just believe that was meant to be. But this was way more dangerous. Okay, so anyway, that's Thomas. And then so I go, okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Tell me what life is, because I just want the answer. So you ask me about how my brain works. I get all this stuff and then give me the answer. I just want the answer. So he said 3 things. 1, serendipitous meetings of the right people at the right time. Okay. So, and then all I do is create serendipitous meetings because I just like to do that. That's what I was born to do because it's progressive realization of worthy ideal. Okay, so that's 1. 2, he said, be early, be brave, and be honest. So be early, be brave, be honest. Okay, that's pretty simple. Most people don't do that. They're late or they're not honest and they're definitely not brave because they don't go through the door, which I don't understand that. You have the key, go through the door. Write the check. Take action. Okay, that's 2. 3rd thing he said, always stay in the battle. You do not retire. I don't even say that word. You never quit. You never stop. You just keep going. And so he's the greatest teacher. Him and then I can tell you what my 8-year-old son said that was just as good. Yeah.
So good.
So that's my life. Talking to people like that. And then here's the answer.
Isn't that great? And yeah. Speaking of that taboo word, R-E-T-I, and tied back to our how or our epic or our legend is I was talking with a craniosacral therapist the other day, and she said, someone asked me what my retirement plan
is. Whoa.
She said, I looked at her and I said, well, I don't plan on retiring. Like, this is my
retirement. Why would you do that? It's a lot.
She was like, well, don't you? And they were like all these things. And she's like,
No, wrong door. Ignore door. Wrong door. Wrong door. Bye. Wrong door.
It's just interesting for you to hit on that same thread.
Serendipitous. That makes complete sense to me. And then when you have the right mindset, it attracts the right network and creates the right opportunities. So it's just, we're sending out the same radio signals. That's perfectly logical. And then like with the family board meetings, be one-on-one with your child, have no electronics, and then do a fun activity of child's choosing, followed by a focused reflection. Can I give you an example of what happened with that? Because talk is meaningless to me without an answer.
I would love that.
Okay. So this is before I read your book. This is before, but if, okay. So my 8-year-old and I, he's a little version of Thomas Cernick, by the way. He's got my wife's empathy and love and then my whatever. Okay, so I was one-on-one with him. There were no electronics. And then he wanted to go out for a pizza dinner. So I'm like, okay. So we had pizza. And then during the moment of reflection, I was asking him about two things. One, IQ, which was very interesting. And then two, bending time. I mean, that's why at parent-teacher conferences, I don't say, hey, do you know guys know how to bend time? Because that's probably not going to go well with a third grade teacher. But okay, so I'm paraphrasing Chase, who's the most loving, wonderful child, and he's a full visionary. So that's a nice combination. So this is what he considers life, my sweet 8-year-old boy. And it gets me very emotional because I'm not emotional, but with him, I am. So he considers life two things, only two, because he's a simplifier like me. Only two ways to have a great life, a great day. Yesterday's before you were born, and then tomorrow's after you die. So there's no Monday or whatever. I don't even know what day it is. So one, create more living things. The fundamental purpose of any living thing is to create more living things. I don't think there's an argument against that. Maybe there is. I mean, we wouldn't be here if there was an argument against that. But so that's one. And then two, he said, do what you like to do and what you're good at every single day and get better at it. So in 46 years of life, and most of my life has been talking to the world's top entrepreneurs, that's the best version of life I've ever heard, ever.
That is good. Sounds like a pretty profound.
Yeah. Just a wonderful child. He's smarter than, I mean, he's so much wisdom than most of them are adults.
How do you differ now from before you had children?
So that's one of the best questions anyone has ever asked me.
Ooh.
I don't usually stop like that.
Very
so
well.
That's a very fascinating thing. My oldest son, who's 10, who is, again, like my wife, kind and loving, very popular in school, and he's done a 23:38 5K, which that's a maniac. Okay, so I don't want to be too great. He was halfway outside my wife, October 10th, 2012. He was halfway outside of her. And then he opened his eyes and he just looked at me and he blinked and my life immediately changed.
Why?
Well, there's two reasons. One, the fundamental reason of any living thing is to create more living things. So I understood in real time what the fundamental purpose of any living thing was. So you really can't understand it until you see your genetics looking up at you and blinking. I don't think anyone could really understand that. I mean, maybe you can, but I don't think so until you actually see that.
Yeah.
So that's one. And then two, my dad died when I was 13, and I know what it's like not to have a dad around. And I would never do that to my children, ever.
Yeah.
So it didn't even take him all the way out to. And by the way, he's a pain in the ass like me. He's half pain in the ass. So he failed his hearing test. He can hear fine, but he wasn't cooperative. And then my 8-year-old, after he came out of my wife, the first thing he did was pee on the doctor. Doctor held him up, peed right on him. Those are my children.
Now, Justin, what are some things, because I know we've had this conversation about your dad.
Yeah.
You were the first born and he was 61
yeah.
when you were born.
Yes.
So I know because we've now had children in each decade, that it is different each time, different stages, and being able to reflect that, like, our youngest, who receives us at our oldest, receives the most balanced, self-aware, financially stable.
Get the best version of you.
The best versions of ourselves.
Right.
The wisdom and the patience and the opportunity that she's growing up with is very different. And so I just wonder, how much of who you are do you attribute to the fact that you had a father that knew what cream even was to rise to the top?
Your conversations have got to be, oh man, can you, I mean, it's got to be the greatest. My wife and I, she and I are both 8 fact finders in Colby, K-O-L-B-E. We spent hours talking about this kind of stuff. And then we spent even more time dissecting our 10-year-old and 8-year-old soccer lineup, who should play at which position. So that's what we okay. It is, I mean, wow. It's like an MIT Caltech discussion into that. Okay, so having a regular water cooler conversation, I just can't. You put me in a regular room talking about, it's torture for me. So I have to talk at this level or higher, otherwise I get bored. Okay. So that's why I'm like, well, you two got to have, and then involving your children. Okay. So I guess we're very similar. Our kids are a little younger, and then my 8-year-old talks about spending time. Great. Okay. So let me actually answer your question. I'm just amazed by how you're. So let me slow down for once in my life so the listeners understand. So my dad was born in 1916. Okay. So 1960. So he survived the Spanish flu, the Depression, World War I. His parents came to escape the pogroms of Russia. I don't even know when they came here. They escaped that, so they were pioneers. They had a small tailor shop in suburban Chicago. That building still exists, which I'm very grateful for that. I went there with my kids. That was very powerful. So my dad and his three brothers all served in World War II, I believe Korea as well. Just horrific, survived horrific. Okay, so there were no girls in the family. It was very rare to send all four boys to a world war. They were featured nationally in media for that. And then my grandma, Ida, who I'm named after, I'd never met her, obviously, but she talked about how much she loved America, even though all four of her sons easily could have been killed. Probably at least one of them should have been, including my dad, but he didn't. So, okay, then he survived the worst horrific. He kept a diary of him fighting in Battle of Hurricane Forest toward the end of World War II. Did I tell you about his Christmas Day diary entry? Did I tell you about that? No? Okay. So I found this diary after he died. So Christmas Day, 1944. Christmas Day. So he was watching this from the ground. He was watching three American planes fighting against one Nazi plane. So the Nazi plane shot down the first two American planes. The third American plane shot down the Nazi plane. The Nazi pilot jumped out of the plane, but his parachute did not open. My dad watched him and his friends watched him. Bam, bam, explode on the ground. My dad and his soldier friends went to the exploded body, grabbed the paperwork. One of them could speak German, and the pilot was 17 on his first mission. 17. Do not make excuses to me. I do not want to hear them. That is my litmus test. So he survived that. Became an attorney in Nazi war crime Nuremberg trials. My dad's best friend was killed in a famous mafia hit. If you've seen the movie Casino, the guy killed in the parking lot, Alan King, that was my dad's best friend. My dad was the clean guy, the guy in the room. Okay. So my dad survived all of that. And then I got him from age 61 till he died when he was 74. Let me think about that. Yeah, just before his 75th birthday. So I got, if I was a functional human brain, maybe age 5. So 5 to 13, I got every day of that. And the most loving, grateful. He met my mom. Drunk driver hit him in his late 50s. Drunk driver killed. Dad broke countless bones in his body. He woke up and my mom was his nurse. That's how they met. So, and then he thought he was dead. He thought she was an angel, but it's my mom. And then, so that's why I'm like this. Like, so I got all that wisdom. Like, I got the very best version of someone who had survived everything and then was able to pass it on, and then cream rises to the top. No excuses. None. No excuses. So that's it. And then to pass it on to my children is the greatest. I'm sorry for rambling, but like it is. It explains it. Yeah.
It's a great story. Now, how do you take, you said from 5 to 13, how do you take those 8 years of good stuff? Because if we use it all in like cream milk analogy here, like the cream is not the majority of the cup, but it's the thickest, densest, sweetest, highest, you know what I mean? And so being able to take those 8 years of cream versus an entire lifetime of water, you know what I mean? It's very different. And so the sweetness and depth that you were able to encounter in those years, do you feel as though you bring that like now your children get an extended yes. version of that
creed. The greatest version. So there's two things. One, thank you. Two, I would say I'm a pretty big visionary, fairly evolved, like wise. I mean, they're far more evolved than I am. I mean, in a good way, because they have my wife's doctor brain, empathetic brain. And then my oldest, his middle name, he's named after my dad. My dad was an incredible athlete. They're both of my sons are just tremendous athletes. So they're that skip me. I'm a pretty good runner, but my kids are just incredible athletes. So like, and then my wife, who's a pediatrician, says she has three children, our sons and me. I'm like a kid. Wait, what did you say here? Hold on. Oh, wait. Do a fun activity of the child's choosing, followed by a focused reflection. So sometimes I'm the child choosing the activity. We're going bow hunting for Asian carp. The Asian carp jump out of the water. We're going to shoot them with a bow and arrow. We're doing that in a couple. Right. So that was my choosing. Then we'll reflect on it for sure. Yeah. So that'll be fun. But that's what I mean. I'm like a little, I found the great entrepreneurs and you two are definitely, I mean, high level wisdom, but also like little kids in a good way. Like the great entrepreneurs are very childlike, not childish, childlike.
Like a wonder, right?
Like
wondering. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's no RETIRE, always trying to get better at finding the worthy ideal, which creates all this wonderment. I mean, it's endlessly and it's wonderful. That's interesting with the word. The wonderment is wonderful. Oh, take that if you go for it. Yeah, that's a
in your balance of the two boys, and I mean, you have this, you've written a number of books, PR, the word is losing me, like a firm of some, right?
Whatever you want to call it.
Like left me for a moment. I don't want to say you're a big deal, but right? Like people from the outside might say, wow, look at these books and look at what you're accomplishing for your, your vision and the things in which you are implementing. How do you integrate and balance this epic that you're putting out in the world and your epic family? Like,
Okay. Thank you. Man. Can we just like ask each other questions all day? I mean, like that would be fun. Thank you for those nice words. I appreciate that. My wife taught me how to say thank you. So thank you. Okay. So balance to me is confusing. Everything to me is collaborative. So I only ask myself two questions every day that matter. And when you're a journalist, like you don't get into that for revenue and it's fine. That's not why you become a journalist. So the only two questions I ask myself every single day that matter, realization, progressive realization, worthy ideal. There's only two questions. And I ask them every day. And the answers are yes, every day. So one is, did I have a good experience that day with my family? That's one. I've never had that be a no ever. So that's good. If you have a good family life, you have a good life. If you've ever met anyone that has a good family life that hasn't had a good life, if you have met someone that has not had a good life who has a good family life, I would like to meet that person, regardless of whether they're like us. I would like to meet that person. Hey, you have a great family life. You haven't had a good life. I can't imagine that. Okay, so that's one. And then two, has network grown on a global level? Because when you create endless opportunities for your network, they create for the right skeleton key, then they create endless opportunities for you. And so I found all this other stuff, this business stuff takes care of itself. So those are the only two questions that matter to me. That creates, I want to call it balance or.
Yeah. You're 100%. I mean, you are relationship driven. I mean, by without a doubt, like positive, interactive, relationship driven.
I would agree with that. Yes, I would agree with that.
And like you said, the rest of it takes care of itself. It's amazing how when you focus on what matters and you're true to like your core, right? Like the way in which you see things, it's like it falls into line. The books write themselves. Probably it just flows.
They do. Well, here, I'm like, you are so high. And I mean, if you do take Dr. Doug Brackman's thing, IamDriven.com, it's really good. Yeah. My intuition is like, off the chart. It's like he looked at my thing and he was like, I've never seen any. He was genuinely confused in a good way. Like, just like very confused. And then I'm actually less bored than a regular human because I'm always doing what I like to do and what I'm good at. I never get bored. Why would you get bored of that? That's wonderful. Wonderment, whatever. Wonder. Okay. So I'm never bored. most visionaries are constantly bored because they're ADD, diagnosed, undiagnosed, shiny object. I'm not like that. I'm like totally focused. And then relationships. It's all about having the right relationships. And then you're just constantly in that zone where you never get bored. And then all these cool things happen. Never stops.
I like that. You don't never get bored.
No.
You're the right relationships and you're doing the right things that you're interested in.
Right.
That's good. I like
that. We have a finale question. I know we could go on. So
oh,
we'll
my have God. That's it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. That would be years.
Well, we'll do a separate intro with your books. And
oh, okay.
The detailed stuff other than this.
Which is very interesting because of what you just said with your dad. We started to ask this question in the pandemic. We all say, oh, what would Justin say to his 21-year-old self? Or what would Jim say or Jamie say? Hmm. But we started to look for more wisdom going upward instead of downward, meaning we would say, what advice would our 75-year-old self give to us now?
Okay.
So this is Justin from way down the road, hopefully still creating, still living an epic life.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the advice the 75-year-old Justin would give to you today?
Oh.
To people.
Oh, my God. So, again, serendipitous. I don't believe in randomness. My dad was born in 1916, so I should have been born like 1945-ish. So I should be about 75. So I'm 75-year-old wisdom and 46-year-old body with a childlike mindset of maybe a 5-year-old. That's progressing. So I think this whole interview answered that question. Like, that's really what it is. I'm like an older soul, not old, but wise soul. What do they call 46-year-old? Middle age? Is that what the... whatever that means. And then child, like a kid. So I would tell myself everything that I said during this interview.
I like that. And if people are looking for Epic Life, Justin, or to even learn more about what you do to help connect people.
Right.
Graphic.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And I always think it's hilarious when we have these deep, like philosophical, super high level conversations, and then we have to land the plane with the BrepikLLC.com. I know BrepikLLC.com. They can go there. It's fine.
Oh, awesome. Wonderful! There's so many cool things that you have put flight to out in the world, and first and foremost, your own family.
Thank you.
Thank you for being the connector that you are, and thank you for bringing us into the fold, and it's been such a pleasure to get to know you and to share you with our audience. So thanks.
Yeah, you two are just, the word genius is overused, but you two are, man, just pure. And then you've had time to really think about it. I know I'm supposed to just say you're welcome or whatever. You're just litmus test for the people you serve and thinking at the highest level. So that's amazing. It's just wonderful. And you're helping your family first and foremost.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're like me evolved. You're me in the future.
Oh, yeah. Fun. Just all meeting on the path at different places.
Exactly. Great.
All right, Justin.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.